OTB Gold, the very best of off the ball.
Are you crazy?
This is OTB Sports Radio.
Are you a complete rookie? What are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy?
Absolutely brilliant maneuver by Mansell. Fantastically brilliant.
It's been a hell of a life and a career, yeah. Thank you for giving me this platform to announce my retirement.
Westford lead 2:13 to 2:8.
The treatment was tough. You were given every encouragement and every chance to survive.
When I was 13, 14, I was playing on about 13, 14 teams at the time.
OTB Gold, the very best of off the ball. Weekdays from 1 p.m. and 6 p.m.
OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
So the news broke earlier today that Tyson Fury had parted ways with Daniel Kinahan as his advisor, and that negotiations for the upcoming fights against both Deontay Wilder and against Anthony Joshua will now be handled in future by Bob Arum and his Top Rank Boxing. The Telegraph broke this story earlier. They had quotes from Bob Arum who said, "This will eliminate a lot of confusion. We've talked with Dan, who Tyson and I both love and admire and respect, and he understands that it's best the negotiations on Tyson's side be handled that way. Both Tyson and I have each discussed this with Dan, and he's amenable and satisfied and wished us luck. He only wants the best for Tyson." Fury went on to say that Eddie Hearn has been informed and that all negotiations will now take place through Bob Arum. Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star, is with us. Evening, Kieran.
Evening, Nathan. How are you?
So it's just a couple of weeks since Bob Arum was on News Talk Breakfast saying, when asked about Daniel Kinahan, "If anybody asks me, I would say without question that I find him to be an honourable man. He has developed a great deal of trust with my company, myself and our people." What's changed over the last fortnight?
I think what's changed is a story that never really got any legs outside of Ireland has grown legs in the UK and in the US. And it's led to a lot of scrutiny of the way boxing works and of Daniel Kinahan's role at the very highest level of boxing. And a lot of people have been brushing over this for a long time. And now it's being highlighted. There are people uncomfortable with the situation, and they're uncomfortable that their own reputations might be harmed by being associated with Daniel Kinahan. Now, Bob Arum, even in that statement, in that interview with the Daily Telegraph, he talks of his love and respect for Daniel Kinahan. He's made it clear in a number of interviews that he has no issue with Daniel Kinahan. But on this story, it's very, very hard to know what to believe because the story changes all the time. I guess TK Global said a few years ago that they'd sold, Daniel Kinahan had sold the company to them and he'd nothing to do with them. And he's threatened legal action to various outlets who indicated that Daniel Kinahan might still have a role. But now Daniel Kinahan is back in as an advisor. They sent out a press release saying that he's an official advisor to MTK. We know that he's been, because it's become public knowledge from the Fury camp and from Eddie Hearn, that he actually played the major role in organising Fury's last few fights. And Fury is an MTK fighter. So we were told in May that by MTK, that Daniel Kinahan has nothing to do with MTK. And then a couple of weeks later, it comes out that he's been organising Tyson Fury fights for quite a while, and now he's an official advisor to MTK again. So you take a lot of this stuff with a pinch of salt. What I think the big, one of the big takes to take out of it, Nathan, is Daniel Kinahan clearly, to me, had a plan to get to that, to be maybe the Mr. Big of boxing, because there is going to be a void there pretty soon. And that was behind the release of a bizarre rap video of a YouTube documentary around spreading a conspiracy theory around the Regency Hotel, and about the way I think, various relationships like KHK Sports in Bahrain, who now cut their ties with Daniel Kinahan, the relationship with MTK when he's announced as an advisor, Tyson Fury announcing that he was the man who brokered a fight with Anthony Joshua. I think Daniel Kinahan was looking to build, rehabilitate his reputation within boxing. And that's a big blow for this. But it doesn't mean Daniel Kinahan has gone from boxing. Not by a long shot.
That's what I wanted to ask you. This statement today and what's happened over the last couple of weeks and the way it's escalated since Tyson Fury's initial Instagram post where he so publicly thanked Daniel Kinahan, is it damaging to his ambitions within boxing as a whole are just damaging to his ambitions of being a public figure within boxing. Can he now go back to where he was 3 months ago? And as you mentioned there, he was involved previously with Tyson Fury and negotiations and nobody knew anything about it because it was all behind the scenes. Can he, with everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks, go back to that sort of role?
He can. Yeah, no, he definitely can. But I think that would be hard for his ego, because I think he has been in the shadows. Like, even people within MTK and the Fury camp and Eddie Hearn and so on, Bob Arum, I'm saying they've been working with him for a few years. So he has been... it's no secret that Daniel Kinnan's been involved at a high level of professional boxing for a long time, but it was in the shadows. And I think he was very keen to come out of the shadows. I think he wants the kudos that comes with being one of the main guys in boxing, with being the guy who could broker maybe the most lucrative fight of all time. But it's very hard to see how he can do that now when those questions are out there. He can stay in the shadows and keep operating in the shadows, but as a figure that's out in the front, I don't know if he can do it. The question is, does it really matter to the future of sport? Like, to the people who should care about the morals and ethics of sports and the way professional boxing should be run, does it only matter if Daniel Kinnan is out there in an official capacity? Mm. They're not bothered if he's there in an advisory capacity and still having a lot of clout. That's a big question for them.
Well, considering how influential it appears he has become, and we've heard so much about that, and you mentioned the links with Bahrain, and there was this summit that was due to take place, that all these different factions around boxing that for years haven't been able to get along, he was able to pull all that together, it seemed. You look at those figures within that are involved with boxing, why would they want to lose that? And would they be willing to accept losing that figure?
Yeah, well, that's one of the major issues with boxing, in that nothing talks louder than money. And decisions ultimately come down to money, and morals and ethics go out the window. And if you look at there are over 200 boxers on the roster of MTK. Mm. A lot of ex-Olympians or, you know, very talented prospects, or, you know, they are world champions or former world champions. And they're looked after really well. Like, that's an important part of the Daniel Kinnan story. The way he set up MTK when he got involved with it initially back in 2012 and was there till 2017 till the buyout, and now he's back as an advisor. They pay well. They pay better. Boxers, even of a mediocre standard, get paid better than they would elsewhere. They get better facilities. They're better looked after. Some ex-boxers that have fallen on hard time, Daniel Kinnan has reached out to them and looked after them. So because of that, there's a huge amount of goodwill within boxing. There's a huge amount of people within boxing who'll talk him up. And then there's people who are very worried about Daniel Kinnan's involvement in the sport, but there's no merit there. They're actually afraid to speak out. Very, very few people have spoken out about him.
In the last couple of weeks, suddenly with the escalation of media coverage, I think everybody in the UK media is very aware of who Daniel Kinnahan is, and beyond as well. And we've seen it go to governmental level. Leo Varadkar spoke in the Dáil that there was contact between the Department of Foreign Affairs and the United Arab Emirates, where the fight may well have taken place. There were letters to Sky and to BT. Has that had an influence? Do you think that the powers that were there that suddenly took an interest in this have influenced that statement today from Bob Arum?
I would think so, yeah. No, because it's coming on the back of the KHK sports thing in Bahrain, of them cutting their ties. So, a lot of people within boxing want this fight to go ahead because of the amount of money they're going to make out of it. So there might be a fear there that this could jeopardize a possible Fury-Joshua fight. So I think because of that, that's led to the action. But there's a concern, too, that, you know, the news cycle, because you know you work in sport, Nathan, how people move on so quickly. Like, the Premier League has started up again. Golf is starting up again. You know, so many sports are starting up again. And that whole, roller coaster or treadmill, it just keeps going. So people that have covered the Daniel Kinnan story, you know, they'll quickly move on to something else. They think, maybe we've done our bit. But Daniel Kinnan is still there in boxing. And boxing's issue, it doesn't have a proper international governing body. You know, it's got an alphabet soup of different governing bodies who operate with a light touch, you know, who don't have the scrutiny, the kind of scrutiny on the individuals involved that you'd want. Like, for one example, Nathan, it's ridiculously easy to become a professional boxing manager. There's actually far more vetting. You know, in terms of, you want to take an under 10 hurling team in Ireland, you have to go through a huge amount of Garda vetting, which is very right and proper because you're working with children. But you can become a professional boxing manager when you would think, you know, you need to be fairly vetted as well because you're operating at a high level. But it's so easy to do. And that's the problem with the sport now, that it's, you know, Jimmy Cannon, the American writer, once called it the red light district of sports. And, you know, it's still operating in those shadows. And Danny Kinnan's in the shadows. And, you know, that today doesn't change that. Really doesn't.
The Fine Gael TD, Neil Richmond, who's been to the fore over the last couple of weeks from a governmental point of view, he was talking to OTB Sports earlier and he obviously welcomed the reports that Tyson Fury was cutting his ties with Daniel Kinnan. He said it's an extremely welcome development, but far from the end of this saga, we need to have full clarity that Daniel Kinnan will have no involvement at all in this fight and that real efforts are being made to exclude him from the world of boxing. That probably touches on the point you made there. You do wonder, those in power, how much they just don't want Daniel Kinnahan to be publicly involved in boxing. They don't want him, as you say, with a Joshua Fury fight, standing on the stage at a weigh-in, being front and centre. And will their interest remain if he's involved in that role that we discussed behind the scenes, with that, as you say, passion for boxing that he has and the amount of boxers that he advises? If he is, and maybe he's not, and as you say, maybe his entire career built up to this moment where he was the main man for the biggest fight in the history of boxing, but if he is happy to remain within the sport but just not in the public way, will the interest levels wane quite quickly as to what his role is?
Media wise that would be my concern, because first of all, I'd be quite cynical about the way the sports media has covered this, Nathan, because it's been out there for a long time. Like, there was a ban on the Irish media in 2018 for a year. And it was a very public ban. And I didn't see many journalists questioning it from other jurisdictions, you know, who were going to MTK fights and press conferences and never brought it up. And they didn't know about the ban. So there hasn't been that great willingness to get into this story before Tyson Fury and Bob Arum, in an interview a couple of weeks before that, made it so public that it kind of forced people to look at it. So, where do you go with it now? You do need people to speak out and you need people to campaign for proper governance in boxing. But the will has to be there. You have Bob Arum, who's one of the most powerful figures in the world of boxing. He's talking about his love and respect for Daniel Kinnan. He's been on News Talk Breakfast, as you said, and he talked about how much time he has from him. Eddie Hearn talked last week about how, you know, Daniel Kinnan's been around a long time. I don't know why people are so surprised by this. You know, is it that big a deal? Frank Warren has made it clear he's no issue with Daniel Kinnan being involved in the sport. So you need, these are the most powerful figures within the sport. You know, if any move is ever to be made against Daniel Kinnan, or you know, his role within the sport is to be challenged, people have to speak out. And it can't be, no, so much of the running on this has been done by a few crime correspondents in Irish newspapers. They've done most of the running. Virtually everyone else has ignored the story.
You mentioned the actual fight now and what happens, and you could see straight away the reaction on social media a few weeks back when Tyson Fury put up that Instagram post, the excitement that was there among so many people for this fight to happen. Is it now in jeopardy? Is Daniel Kinnahan's role that strong in all of this that the fight itself is in jeopardy? And why is he so pivotal to this fight happening?
Well, because he was negotiating on Tyson Fury's part. So there had to be agreement between Tyson Fury's people and Anthony Joshua's people. And, you know, even though no contract has been signed and there's still hurdles to be leapt, they are saying that an agreement is there in principle and it's going to go ahead. So, you know, you can argue that Daniel Kinnan stepping out of the limelight now, it doesn't really matter if the deal is effectively being made. And I think, you know, ultimately, as I say, pro boxing, it comes down to money. There's too much money around this fight. Like, the purses involved alone for the two fighters, figures between 100 million each and half a billion each have been mentioned. Like, it's crazy money. So because, and that will transfer on to promoters and managers and TV companies. There's a lot of money to be made from it. So because of that, I can't see any willingness within boxing not to go ahead with it.
Mm. I'd imagine he wishes that Tyson Fury maybe wasn't quite so public with his praise.
Possibly, but you know, you don't know, because there was such a concerted effort, or something that was definitely perceived as a concerted effort, to rehabilitate his image over the 3 months up to that, with everything that had gone on. So I think he was pretty keen to get his name out there. And maybe he didn't anticipate the backlash, though.
All right. Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Thanks as always for joining us.
No problem.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.